Good morning, church. How's everyone doing? Good, good. This is the Advent season, so we're going to continue on that. Last week, if you were here, Tim spoke about Jesus, our King. Today, we'll be talking about Jesus, our gift. You can open up to Romans 8, 28 through 39 is what we're going to be talking about. We will have a verse that's highlighted that we'll read together, verse 32. You can say got it if you want to. That's up to you. Thanks, Emmy. Of course, it would be my child. So, who all has, who's all finished their gift shopping so far this year? Debbie Dornfeld would be the hand that would raise it. Well, you're not getting any gifts. That's impressive, to finish your gift shopping. Speaking of gifts, I was reminded by Josh West that my name means God's gift, Ian does. So, yeah, right? No. So you might ask, what makes you worthy to come here and preach? And I got news for you, I am not worthy. But I am here to talk about a gift that is worthy of our praise and honor, and I'm here to explain the text and tell you about Jesus, our gift. So, our family, we are, you know, the shopping season has started, but there's also, family traditions that start this time of year. My beautiful wife, Mallory, and daughters, Emmy and Esther, we like to watch Christmas movies. Does anybody else watch Christmas movies? Yeah, absolutely. There's so many good ones. You know, It's a Wonderful Life, Holiday Inn, Elf, Christmas Carol. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Mike. But one we just watched recently was The Grinch, the Jim Carrey Grinch, to be specific. And if you've seen it, you know the storyline. But if you haven't, all the Whos in Whoville love Christmas, but the Grinch does not. And so he gets tired of it, and he makes a plan to steal Christmas, right? And it's a pretty good plan, actually. He dresses up as Santa Claus, he goes down the chimney, he steals all the gifts, and he gets all the way up to the top of the hill, and all of a sudden he hears them wake up, and they're crying, and they're upset, and he's taking Christmas from them. And as he's getting ready to throw it down Mount Crumpet or whatever, I can't remember what it's called right now, he hears them singing joyfully, right? And he realizes, he's confused. Why did this happen? And I'm not going to say it in Jim Carrey's voice, but, it came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came with packages, boxes, or bags. And he states that, maybe Christmas didn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more. The sermon is not titled Why the Grinch Needed Jesus. Even though it would be a great sermon. But no, it's just this significance of this Christmas season. We're all bogged down by all these gifts we feel like we're trying to get. And really, beyond this season, Jesus is our greatest gift from this season and forevermore. So we're going to really touch on how Jesus is our gift that we've been given. So we know that Christmas is more than that, but just a reminder of what we're called to do with this gift. So, if you are able and willing to, could you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? The highlighted verse will show up and we can read that verse together, but I will be starting at verse 28 in Romans 8, starting at verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justified. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word. You may be seated. So, normally we pick our gifts, right? I mean, we pick the gifts out for people, you know, varying on the person, or somebody picks the gift out for us based on what they know that we like, or they're taking a guess a lot of times. But, you know, God flips the script. And we see, if you're a person that likes to take notes, I have bullet points. We see the first point is Jesus is the gift that picked us. Jesus is the gift that picked us. If we look back on the verses that we read in 28 through 30, we start off by swinging at the fences with predestination, right? It's this big idea, but this is the gift that picked us. We find it time and time again in the Bible where God chose us. Israel, great example. God chose Israel. Why did God choose Israel? What did they do to deserve God's love? Nothing. They did not do anything. They weren't special. They weren't the nation. They weren't a big, you know, powerhouse nation. But God showed his, if anything, they were small and lowly. So God showed his might and his power. And through the lineage that came from David through the time, that's when Jesus was, you know, Jesus came through that lineage. But God chose this nation. God picked them. God picked us, right? When we were dead in our trespasses, when we were lost, Christ found us. He saved us, and he gave us a purpose for his glory. And with this purpose, we have a job to do, right? We'll talk a little bit about that later, but we have a job to share this gift with our neighbors and with our friends and with our families. We have a mission in North County and St. Louis and St. Charles and to the ends of the earth. We bear fruit for his great mission because of the gift that we have received. We share this gift. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." You and I didn't do anything to deserve this gift. You didn't even pick this gift. You didn't even choose it. Because if we would have picked this gift, if I would have picked this gift, who knows what I would have picked, right? Who knows what life I would have chose? I apologize in advance. I'm going to do something that I often do, and I'm going to quote C.S. Lewis. I'm going to quote him twice. Yeah, I know. But, yeah. It's just referring to if we were to pick, if it were up to us. So, Clive said, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased," right? We are far too easily pleased. Anyone here ever watched Indiana Jones? I actually had somebody say they watched it yesterday in the first service, so that was just wild, the chances. I would ask what the best one is, but it's The Last Crusade. It's the third one, I don't have to ask. That's the best one. Sean Connery, it's just a great storyline. And just like any other good storyline, they're fighting the Nazis. So And we see they're searching for the Holy Grail. So they show up to this temple, and they shoot his father. So they have to, Indiana Jones has to go through this death-defying feat to, you know, to save his father. And, you know, he has to do all these things. And I was also reminded of another part where, you know, they throw the sand and he has to have faith to walk over the line into the next line. But he gets through all this stuff and he gets to the very end and he meets this Grail Knight. And, you know, he gets past him because he's old and can't do anything. But the last test is that he has to pick a cup. And what does the Grail Knight said? He said, choose wisely. Basically, if you choose incorrectly, you're going to die. There's only one right choice. So, he has all of these almost infinite, endless amounts of choices, gold, silver, jewels all over the place. And then what does he pick? What's the right cup? It's the most plain of the cups, right? It's the carpenter's cup. All right, so he, and then the Grail Knight says, you have chose wisely. Now, Indiana Jones was a historian. He was a very smart man, teacher, explorer, extraordinaire. So he figured it out. But, you know, it also could have helped that this woman picked this other shiny cup for this guy, and he ended up, you know, turning into ashes. And, you know, he could have got the idea that it wasn't the right cup based on that. But, you know, that's also a very dramatic scene, very traumatic scene as a kid, remembering that whole bit. But, it could have helped him that he got that. But, you know, how many times do we, when we have to pick, we pick the shiny thing. We pick the thing that is pleasing to the eye, right? How often do we pick something that might bring us power or might bring us pleasure or might bring us, you know, fame or notoriety or wealth or whatever we pick, whatever we desire, whatever we want. But luckily that it's when it comes to this, it's not in our hands. If you're a follower of Christ, you have been sought after, right? You have been sought after. You have been chased down by the Father. As we talk, as we talked about in Ephesians, as Tim mentioned when we went through there, and we talked about how when we first come to the saving knowledge of Christ, it wasn't like we just came to that point. We can all remember when we first came to this knowledge, when our life changed, our trajectory changed. It wasn't like Jesus started pursuing us and started working on us at that moment. No, I mean, Christ had started working on you before you knew about him. Before you knew that he had pursued you. He pursued me. We see that he is the gift that picked me. The second point is Jesus is the gift for our greatest good, for our greater good, I should say. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right away, I think of like Chris Tomlin. If God is for us, who can be against us? It's in my head now. What a question, though, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? Like, a lot of times in society, we use these things like daily affirmations, like you are good enough, you are smart enough, and people like you, right? You know, but even biblically, we can use these daily affirmations. If I ask the question on a daily basis, if God is for me, who can be against me? I mean, that's powerful. That's a powerful message, right? Psalms 118, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me, right? You can take all my other earthly gifts away, as we see in the Bible, we see with Job. You could take everything else away, but you can't take this one away. This one is for me. This gift is on my side. It's not just some trivial piece to be discarded or thrown out when we're done with it, or is it? Step on my toes, step on your toes. Do we? Is that how we treat it? Is Christ often our genie or our Christmas nativity set that we bring out once a year or twice a year at Easter as well? Or, you know, we have these big concerns. We come to him if we're struggling with our job or finances or somebody that we love is struggling in health. Do we bring them out for this and we set them aside for later? You know, but Christ, that's not what he is. He's there in those moments, in those difficult times where we need him. He's there during this season. But he's more than that. Christ is an ever-present help. He is for us. He is for you. He died for you. But he didn't die for you just so that you could keep on living the same way. He did it so that you would be transformed, that you would be changed, right? So that you'd be saved, not just for the next life, not just for eternity, but for right now, right? So what are we waiting for? So if you're, you know, most of us here are believers, but if you've come here and you're not, you might, intellectually, following Jesus might make sense to you. Or, you know, you might, Jesus has some great teachings. He says some great things, right? Or maybe, you know, the historical side of how many people saw Jesus and all of the written things, that's really appealing to you. Or maybe, you know, somebody in your family has followed Jesus, so you're like, okay, well, that might make sense. Or maybe you feel, you know, like you feel something during worship and you're chasing that feeling. Or maybe you might have been coming to church for years, right? You might have been coming to your church a lot of your life. But the reality is you haven't surrendered fully yet. You haven't given it all to him. You haven't given your life fully, because that's scary, right? That's scary to give up all your little freedoms that you have. You're comfortable with your life. You don't like these certain aspects that you want to change, but you want to hold on to these things, right? But the reality is we need to surrender. We do. Give it all to Jesus. Be obedient. Because regardless of the road to come, there's two things that are true. One, you can't control it. We are under some illusion that we're in control. You cannot control. And two, if you're a believer of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, Christ will be with you in that moment. In the darkest times and the best of times, we know that we can count on Christ to be with us. He's for us. Third point, Jesus is the gift that stands the test of time. Verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he goes on to explain these just massive implications Paul talks about in Romans. I love those verses, neither depth nor anything else in all creation. Just this huge way of describing that nothing is going to separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. I love those verses. If you were to take a poll of what is the most common gift for this time of year, when I really thought about it, it really breaks down to five different types of gift for the most part. I'm sure you could come up with other ones, but these are the five main ones. Clothing, gift cards, toys, electronics, food. Those are the main categories. Clothing. It gets old, tattered. Most likely, you know, your great aunt bought it for you and it's really itchy and you probably didn't want it anyways. Either way, it's going to run out of, you know, it's going to run out of fashion. You're going to move on from it eventually. Gift cards. Gift cards are great. I think it's actually a sidebar. Sometimes we love receiving gift cards, but for some reason we don't like to give gift cards. I think it's a cop-out. I think gift cards are great. But they run out of money, or sometimes they just sit in your wallet. And you don't even use them because they weren't to the right place. And then, you know, 2 years down the line, you realize you got to use them. Anyways, third, toys. If I remember when the girls were really small, a lot of times they wanted to play with the boxes more than the toys anyways. And then they get tired of the toys by January. Electronics. You know, as we saw by Dustin, new electronics are difficult when you get older. in Sunday school class, he was struggling with it. It's all right. He did. There it is right there. But electronics will become outdated, or there will be a new thing that you'll have, or they will break. If they're made within the last 20 years, they'll probably break on purpose because they want you to buy another one. And the fifth one, food. We consume food. I love food, but it's going to get eaten, right? So all of these things, all of it becomes lost to time, right? All of these gifts that we give, they all became lost to time. But Jesus never becomes lost to time, never fades, never runs out, never expires, never changes, never leaves. All of these gifts will fall away. They will be gone at some point, and you'll probably forget about them before the next holiday. But Jesus is not going anywhere. Jesus never changes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, right? Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. These are powerful words, right? They're powerful truths. Because we need reminded too. We need to hear these truths. We are weak. We constantly are searching for these different things. We are sinful. We are flawed. We need reminded day by day. We stumble. We struggle. But we need to reminded that Christ is here every single day, that he is always there for us. Remind us that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There's an old song that most of us here probably know. We've sang it many times, actually. It's In Christ Alone. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. It's a powerful, powerful words. When Jesus spoke the Great Commission, we remember those words specifically. He talks, and it's a very specific action that we take. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And what does he say at the end? He says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Right? Always to the end of the age. We think about who he was talking to at the time. He was talking to his disciples right before he was leaving again. So they had seen everything. They were flawed. If you remember correctly, studying the disciples, they were flawed. They doubted him. They left him. They saw him right in front of us. I love it when people will be like, man, if I was with Jesus, I would have done this. Like, we have stories of people that were with Jesus that did doubt him. And there's no doubt that they heard what he was saying, and there was probably a human side of them that thought he's leaving again, right? They see it. He's going to be gone. But what does he say? What does Jesus say? He said, I am with you always, forever. That same thing that he said to us, that same truth that applies to the disciples, that same thing applies to us. Because what did Jesus do? He said, I will send a helper to you. The same Holy Spirit that indwelled within the disciples that led them to spread the gospel and change the history of the world forever. That same Spirit dwells within us as believers, and he is with us always. That's the gift that stands the test of time. The gift that is with you when you have this anxiety, when you have this fear, when you worry, when you're sinful, when you need him the most, that the gift that never leaves. That never leaves. And we see that the whole idea, the big picture, the fourth point, is that Jesus is the perfect gift. He's the perfect gift. That's the heart of the message. That's the thing, that the verses that we read together. The Father loves us so much that he gave us the perfect gift, right? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So when we think of gifts this time of year, obviously we think of commercial giving like we've been talking about, gifts. But also we often recall the gifts that were brought to Jesus after he was born. The wise men came and brought gifts to Jesus. Were there three wise men? Were there more? It doesn't really matter. We always say three because there were three gifts. It doesn't matter how many wise men there were as long as we're talking about the one baby Jesus. So that's the point of that. The three gifts that were given, though, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, three gifts. The modern audience really only thinks about gold, I would say, unless you do essential oils, and then you might do some frankincense, I guess. But generally, most people don't talk about frankincense in the modern way. But there is not, these aren't just like gifts. These aren't just like little things that they gave to him. They're like, oh, I think that this little baby would like this. No, there was a significance to what these gifts were. They had a meaning behind them, a very deep, theologically rich, powerful meaning. Gold is the obvious one. It's valuable, but traditionally a gift for royalty. So they came and presented this little baby in a manger. It would not seem like royalty, but they came and presented this little baby with gold as a sign, a tribute to a king. They were, in this case, it was the King of Kings, Jesus. Not just in this moment, but forevermore, the king. Gold's the easy one. Frankincense, they would have understood this. The audience at the time would have known about frankincense. It's burned in worship. It's a sacred incense in the tabernacle and the temple. Like, they would have totally understood what they were talking about. It's a callback to Jesus' divinity and his high priestly role that will come. Smoke of this burning would have been like prayers ascending to God. This would have been something that this audience and these people would have really known about. And the last one, my favorite one, is myrrh, an expensive oil used in perfumes and for anointings. That sounds pretty normal, right? And most notably used to embalm the dead. Yes, I said that. Wait, embalm the dead. Yes, that's what it was there for. We think of the story of Jesus in these little sections, and it's probably because of the holidays, because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and at Easter we celebrate the cross. But we think of him in these little sections, his birth, his life with his disciples, and his death. But God had this incredible plan from the beginning after we rebelled. He set this plan in motion, and we see it referenced time and time again from the beginning and through the prophets and through all the way up until this point, and it's carried out. And it's so hard for us to understand, but these things were significant. This meant something because Jesus' purpose for his life was for him to die for our sins. This little helpless baby was sent to be our king, was sent to be worshipped, and he was sent to die for our sins. This is foreshadowing. It's huge. The greatest redemption story of all time. The perfect gift, right? It's wild. The greatest gift to all humanity. We could not write the story. People often say that aren't believers, but like, oh, that was a man-made story. People wrote this story. Man, if you had to pick this story, you would not pick that. You would not pick this story. I can tell you about the details and the way it's woven together. Have you ever done a group project with 5 or 6 people? Nobody can agree on anything. You're telling me that everybody, all these writers, all this time, made up this story? No, we wouldn't make up this story. I wouldn't make up this story. I wouldn't have put it in a baby in a stinky manger, and then, you know, he would eventually die. That seems like the opposite of what happens when you take over power, when things are changed, when people are saved. No, this is not something that I would have done, and realistically not something that we would have done. We would have picked the shiny thing. We wouldn't have picked the carpenter's cup. We would have picked the one thing that looked the power. We would have wanted to take over with might. But that's exactly why the plan is so good. Because God is good and we are not. Right? We are not God. Isaiah says, it is my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways not your ways. And that's a good thing, right? The greatest gift of all. If God has given such a great gift like this, then what else will he not do for us? We are creatures of proof. We just like really want this proof, right? And we want to trust people when we have a reason to trust them. God has given us every reason to trust him. He has given his son for us. He gave his son for us. How can we still not trust him? How can we still doubt him? There are so many things that we hinge our life on. It's what are you going to do when you're older? And most people say when they get older, like, I don't know. We do it on our family, on the money that we get, on all of these things. And The thing is, they don't stand the test of time. You know what I mean? These, we build our life on these things, these other things to satisfy us. But if we're putting all our life on this, they're going to let us down, right? The second C.S. Lewis quote that I stated was this: all these toys were never intended to possess my heart. That was never the intention. My true God, my true good is in another world, and my only real treasure is Christ. Only real treasure. The gift, the greatest gift, is Christ. These things, all these things I stated, they're not bad. Family's good, you know, to earn money, that makes sense. All of these things. But when that possesses our heart, that was never intended to be. Christ is our treasure. Christ is the gift. So we trust. We try to trust. And that's what I say for people that don't believe. Trust him today. We speak with our mouths too. Believers, we speak with our mouths that we trust him, but our proof, our lives are proof that sometimes we doubt, right? My life is littered with times that I doubted him. Your life might be littered with times that you've doubted him too. Luckily, it's not about what I did, what I do in my life. It's about what Christ has done in his life, right? That's the reality is. So if you're here today and you aren't a believer, trust him today, right? That's the goal, you know? He is this gift that has been given to you. Accept this gift. Trust it. Trust in Jesus. There is, he will never let you down, never leave you. If you are a believer today, that compels us, that pushes us, right? Because we've been given such a great gift. We're not supposed to bury it. We're not supposed to hide it. We're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're supposed to share this light that we've been given, right? We're supposed to share it with our family. We're supposed to share it with our neighbors. If your neighbors need Jesus too. We're supposed to share it with our people that we work with, our schools. It's a tough commandment when they say, when we are told that we need to love our Lord our God with all our heart and our soul and love our neighbors, we're also told that we need to love our enemies. Man, that's a huge, massive things. They're difficult. We struggle with that as Christians. But we need to share this gift because this gift, like if I was to come up here and you were to just hear my words, I would fail all of you. But I'm speaking the words of Jesus, okay? Speaking the Bible, those truths, because that's the only thing that can stand the test of time. I'm going to let you down, but Christ will never let you down. He has given all that you could possibly need. So trust him today, forevermore. His ways are better than your ways. They're better than and my ways, okay? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son Jesus. It's as simple as that. I don't have to mince my words. Your son Jesus, the greatest gift of all time. You set forth this plan to save us. We were rebels in the garden. We wanted to be our own gods. We wanted to do our own ways. And we see littered time and time again in the Old Testament. Time and time again, we kept trying to do our own thing, our own ways. Time and time again. We see it in our life now. But the reality is that all of those things were never intended to possess us. We were never intended to lean fully on those things. We were meant to worship with Christ. We were meant to follow Jesus the rest of our days. So in this season where we get lost in a lot of different things and gifts and all these different traditions, they're not all bad things. But when they become our focus, we lose sight of this gift that we've been given that we need to share. Father, there's nothing more important than sharing Jesus with somebody. So Father, help us, whether we believe or not, help us to know you deeper, to share you with others. Father, I thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.